point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for just an hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." Then he came back. He again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. So he left them and he went away once more and he prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Then he returned to the disciples and he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." May God add his understanding and blessing to this reading.
The second text that was read this morning might be familiar to you. A few weeks ago, we used not the same text, but the same story when we were talking about a type of prayer, a lament. And we see in this text both a lament. I believe in this text also we see a prayer of deliverance. That as we prayed this morning, the Lord's Prayer, even in that prayer itself, it says what? Deliver us from evil. A prayer of deliverance, even in the Lord's Prayer. What does deliverance mean anyway? And maybe I'll start with not deliverance, but deliver. You get your mail delivered and your boxes delivered by usually FedEx or UPS or the Postal Service. Sometimes things come on time when you want them to be there, and sometimes you wait a little while. Sometimes you have to learn lessons. I saw something on Facebook over a month ago of this product that was supposed to burn off all your weeds. You just hook it to your propane tank, and I didn't look to see where this thing was from or anything like that, but I thought, I'm going to buy one. And so I bought one. About a month, five, 6 weeks later, I finally got it in the mail from China. And I attached it with no directions whatsoever, and the thing works like... So I chucked it up to, whatever, Dave, you do stupid things sometimes, and you should have kind of did a little bit of homework before you bought this thing. Deliverer. How confident are you in the deliverer? Well, there's one deliverer that we can be very confident in, and that is our God. He delivers. When it comes to a prayer of deliverance, it means to be rescued or set free from something. Have you ever felt imprisoned or trapped or in need of rescue from something, in something? I imagine the answer to that is yeah. At probably more than one point in my life, we felt that way. Let me ask another question, then I want to get into the two texts this morning. What is it that we need deliverance from? Sometimes we just need deliverance from sin. Or perhaps it may not be deliverance from sin, but deliverance from another sinner. Sometimes that might be the case too. Maybe it's deliverance from pain or addictions or toxic relationships or financial distress. Maybe it's danger or mental illness or indifference or fear or worry or grief. And I could go on and on and on. But I think oftentimes there is an occasion for us to pray prayer of deliverance. You know, if we need deliverance, then we must realize in some way we're in trouble, right? If you need delivered from something, then you must Realize then that you're in trouble, or you wouldn't need delivered, would you? Let's look at Psalm 3 for just a little bit this morning. As was already shared, David's in trouble. He fled from his son Absalom, and he shares this psalm. In this psalm, he looks and he sees in verse 1, how many are my foes? We look around and we see sometimes the enemy is bigger than we are. David looked around and he saw that the enemy was bigger than he was. I'm assuming there might have been some fear involved there. And he wonders, what's up? Oh Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Is that not how we feel sometimes when we need delivered? It may not be people, but this situation is too big for me to handle. I can't get through it myself. I can't fix it myself. I can't get to the other side of it myself. And I need deliverance. I need deliverance. I don't need FedEx. I don't need UPS. I don't need the post office. I need God to get me through whatever it is I need to get through. David knew that, and David, in this psalm, it is a prayer to God. My foes are many. The enemy is bigger than I am. And we recognize, as he recognized, I can't beat him or beat it or whatever it is myself. Verse 2, many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. Now, here at this point, he is reaching out to God, isn't he? But he knows he can't do it himself. He has to reach out to one who can deliver him, and the one who can deliver him is God himself. You know, David had to do that a lot. If you read through the story of David, he had to do that quite a bit. He found himself in messes often. But he reached out to the deliverer. His only recourse at that point was to ask for help. And he says in verse 3 of that text, you're my shield. He says in 4 of that text, you answer me in my time of need. David reaching out to God. You're a shield around me, our Lord, my glorious one who lifts up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. David needed deliverance. And he knew who to go to seek deliverance. It was God himself. Here's something in this psalm that I think you and I need to be reminded of when we're going through something that we need to be delivered from. And it's right here in verse 5. I lie down and sleep. Why can you lie down and sleep when you need delivered? Because you know the deliverer has got it. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I won't fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Now, David, I believe, is speaking literally here when you and I are speaking oftentimes figuratively, but it seems sometimes the thing is so mammoth in our life, it feels like the thousands all around us hem me in on every side, and what do? I talk to the one who delivers, and the one who delivers allows me to sleep at night and to wake up and to know that he's there. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. My God is there. Even though it looks bad, I will not fear. Verse 7, he's asking for something. In verse 7, he wants to bring glory to your name, O God, by delivering me. That is David. Listen to this verse. Arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. You have struck all my enemies in the jaw. You have broken the teeth of the wicked. He wants the Lord to be lifted up. He wants the Lord to deliver him, because then people can look and see, it is the Lord that delivered me. It's not me that delivered me. It's the Lord that delivered me. And how many times we forget once we're delivered to who to point to. Doesn't take long to forget, does it? You know, I think of September 11th, 2001, and the churches I was pastoring in Norway, Michigan at the time. And I remember for about 2 months, the church had a large increase in attendance. Significant. Probably, I don't know, 20% or so. Within a couple months after September 11th, it kind of dipped right back down almost to where it was before. We had a little uptick. But I thought, these are people who, when the thing that's going on is overwhelming them, they reach out to the Lord and say, God, help, I don't know what to do, I'm scared, I'm fearful. But when that thing subsides and they are delivered, so many times we kind of forget, don't we? Verse 8, we are reminded, from the Lord comes deliverance. You are it, not me. You are it, not me. The Lord delivers. May your blessing be upon your people. What a beautiful psalm that is, where David really speaks of deliverance. The Lord will deliver. The Lord has delivered. The Lord will deliver. In the Matthew text, again, we're looking at this, a different text, same story. It was the Luke story a few weeks ago with lamenting. This is the Matthew text, which is got a little bit more in it than the Luke text. Luke was shorter. And we see what's going on here, not just about Jesus, but the disciples as well, and what was going on with them. But as I listen to this section of Scripture where Jesus is praying a prayer, really. Throughout the whole thing, he comes back and they're sleeping, and he comes back again and they're sleeping, and he keeps coming back and they can't stick with it. This prayer was both a lament and it was a prayer for deliverance. You'll find in a lot of our prayers that there's several components in those prayers. A lament, hopefully a lament never ends without a prayer for deliverance, does it? Because we're lamenting what has gone on in our life, whatever it is. And we pray in that lament that perhaps there would be deliverance from whatever it is that I'm lamenting about. Jesus was sorrowful and he was troubled. What would deliverance mean for him? And I want you to get this clearly this morning. What would deliverance mean or look like? Deliverance isn't always being delivered from something. Deliverance is something also that means we might be delivered through something. I want you to get that. I would rather be delivered from something, wouldn't you? The situation that's going on, but sometimes the deliverance comes through the occasion. Jesus, as he's praying to God, in the lament, he's asking for deliverance. He said, if there is a possibility here that we could do the thing that we need to do differently than the way it needs to be, let me know before it happens. I really would love another way. I would really like to be delivered from this in some way, but I also realize the only way for you to do the work that you need to do, I will be delivered through it. We know what the ultimate was, don't we? Amen. Devil thought he'd won when he hung on the cross. The devil's going, and I'm thinking, you idiot. Do you know who you're dealing with? You're dealing with God Almighty here. You're dealing with God come in human flesh, who died as a human on the cross, but he is fully divine too, and the divinity was shown as the resurrection from the dead. You lose. You lose. You lose. You are a loser. 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 Sometimes it gets my testosterone going a little bit here. So Jesus was with his disciples. He wanted to be delivered from, but really the answer to deliverance was he was going to be delivered through. He asked for both. He also knew something else in that text. As we go through the text, he's looking at his disciples and he knows that they need deliverance even though they don't even know what it is they're going to have to go through yet. They're sleeping. And he asks God to deliver them from temptation, be with them, encourage them, strengthen them because they're going to need it. His was also a prayer of deliverance for his disciples. They were tired and unaware. And you know, a lot of times when you and I are tired and unaware, that's when the devil pushes. That's when he tries to make a mess out of our life. So many times life coasts along and we're just kind of doing the thing. And that's when the devil pushes the buttons. Says, now I've got them because they're off. They're off a little bit. They're not on their game. And he pushes. The disciples were off their game. They were tired because a lot of what was going on lately anyway. But they were tired and unaware, and Jesus knew they would need to be delivered from fear, from dismay, from loneliness, from anger. He said, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Help them. Deliver them from this temptation. God has a purpose as we go through our life. And even when we go through a piece of our life, parts of our life where we need deliverance, God has a purpose in that. God has a purpose through that. And just like Jesus prayed to God in the text, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done. As we live our lives as believers in Jesus Christ, we pray for deliverance. Sometimes that deliverance comes from, and sometimes it comes through. We need to ask ultimately because we need to understand with the depths of our heart that God has our best in mind. Your will be done. We need to pray that believing it. Not pray that as a hands in the air, I give up. We need to pray your will be done believing that God does have our best in mind. There's another prayer that I think will be the last of the eight that I do that is kind of talking about this, and it is the prayer of relinquishment. And I was introduced to that prayer by a dear sister in Christ here in the church. And I'll be praying that that also is a type of prayer. I might end up using the same text because that too is involved here. Your will be done. The promise of God's deliverance, as he did with Jesus, he will do with us. He will deliver us either from something or through something, but he will deliver from or through everything that happens in our life. Can you trust that he always has your best in mind? Look at the whole, not at the little piece. Because when you and I are stuck in the little piece, we can't see the whole, and God sees the whole. And the whole is a beautiful thing, even though the piece may not feel like it. Trust him with it, because he has your best interest in my best interest in mind. Don't you believe that? I mean, think about a parent with your child. Even though we're imperfect, we want to have our best, the best interests of our child in mind, don't we? Sometimes we blow it, maybe, and it maybe it was a little twisted or whatever. But as a parent, you want you have the best interest of your child in mind. You think you have the best interest of your child in mind. Sometimes it's clouded. How much more the perfect Heavenly Father has your best interest and my best interest in mind. So pray for deliverance. And then trust Him with it. Just like the Lord called us in the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks and praise that you are the deliverer and that you have our best interest in mind. There is none like you. So God, I pray you'd help us to all understand you are deeply invested in our lives. We are and will be reminded of this as we share this morning in Holy Communion. That you have our best interest in mind and you are totally and completely invested in us. Help us to be invested in you and trust you with everything. And we give you thanks and praise that we will be delivered even as we are now seeking deliverance. In Jesus' precious name, amen.